Christians even, allow the darkness to cause them to kind of hunker down. It's kind of like a storm. I want to hunker down. And God's asking us to rise up. God's asking us to rise up and be and show some glory. Now, that's Isaiah 60. In the earlier chapters of Isaiah, we see where it, the setup of the prophetic book is we see that Israel has slipped away from the covenant. Israel has become corrupted. And one of the main things that you could see Israel doing is they were calling evil good and good evil, right? And this is kind of, you may ask, well, how could this possibly happen when you look at Israel and you look at all the miracles God did on their behalf to set them free? But let's be honest, it's just as astonishing as what we see happening in our country, for example. In our nation. I mean, what we see happening in the falling away. And the problem that I see happening that really troubles me is rarely will you hear anyone ever address the fact that the problems we're experiencing are spiritual.
Absolutely.
They're spiritual.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, we can try to fix it, you know, environmentally or this or that, but they're spiritual issues that are at hand. Amen. And you'll never hear the talking heads tell you that. Okay? Y'all know what the talking heads are, right? I'm not talking about the rock group. I'm talking about the talking heads on your television that like to talk to you. But we too are a nation. Let's be honest. We tend to honor the dishonorable. And we tend to dishonor the honorable. And we see it all the time. You might say, well, what's the problem with that? Well, we glorify unrighteousness. And dishonorable people, we honor them. And it's a real problem. It's called idolatry. It's a huge issue in American culture. Everybody relax. I'm not going on a political message today. 4th of July is a few weeks ago. I'm setting up something here that's really important. Always remember this about idolatry. Idolatry is based upon the lust of the eye and the pride of life. It really is. It's the pride of life. In the lust of the eye.
Yeah.
It's about me, myself, and I, right?
Amen.
And it's about what is pleasurable to me and what I want and what I desire. It's not about delighting in the Lord. And so anytime a people have gotten from God, idolatry is going to be the result, if not the cause. Amen? Now, but here's the thing for me. I am believing for America's spiritual rebound.
Amen.
I really am. I am believing for a great awakening. Anybody with me?
Yes.
So, I mean, don't be mistaken, though. Even in an awakening, storms are coming. Hello?
Yes.
Storms are coming.
Yeah.
And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I mean, that's the Lord's words. We got to understand that. Here's the thing. Here's the question I would ask you. If individuals reap what they sow, we can be sure that nations also reap what they sow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the Eastern world, you know, and other religions would call it karma. What comes around, goes around, comes around, right? You're going to reap what you sow. It works in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. And truly, that's what we're seeing. And so that's a real problem in our pride when we want to always point the finger to somebody else. Obadiah said this, he prophesied, "The day of the Lord draws near on all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you."
Amen.
Now that ought to cause my people called by my name to humble themselves and pray. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. So again, I am for our country. I am believing for a turnaround. I'm believing for a rebound. I'm believing for a harvest.
Hallelujah.
But I'm not going to be foolish to sit here and tell you that storms aren't coming and there are not more coming. We've had unprecedented natural disasters. Storms, floods, places burning that never used to burn. Droughts, fires, earthquakes. And we're spending billions upon billions in relief. That's not even talking about what the pandemic has cost. Okay? And what that has done to the economy. But those who don't believe in or fear God, here's the problem. They want to blame someone else. They want to blame even another race of people. They want to blame another generation, right? They'll even go back if you talk to them long enough and blame the founding fathers. It's always kicking that can down the road. I'm not going to take responsibility. I'm not going to rise up and intercede. The prophet said, I was astonished there was no one who would intercede. There was no, so I extended my right arm.
That's right.
Amen.
I mean, you read this, you kind of go, wow, hold on a minute. And of course, we got the go-to. Whenever there's any type of natural disaster, the go-to is climate change.
And
that we're actually responsible for that too. So this is a real problem. It's what we're up against. Here's the thing. We the people need to realize, Amen. We're called we the people, right? We the people need to realize there's some spiritual issues. There's judgments. There's spiritual repercussions that we play. Okay. Now, I'm going to be very positive here in just a moment. Everybody okay? Here's the thing. We need to first see we his people. Repent. Not we the people. They don't know how to repent. I mean, they're not in a place to even understand. But we his people. Amen. Need to repent. On behalf of the nation. Amen?
Yes.
For if what? My people who are called by my name. He didn't say if the president will.
Right.
Or if your senator will. He said if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah.
Land,
I just believe there's a remnant being stirred.
Yes.
I heard and felt the intensity the other night and other times. I've seen it in just videos and stuff happening around the planet and around our country. I believe when the remnant rises up, what I mean by that, with repentant intercession, okay, there's always awakening. There's always revival, and there's always healing in the land. What's our prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. What I keep hearing prophetically is something that we first read about that happened with Elijah. He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Amen. And you might say, well, that's rather clever, Rick, because we've been having a lot of rain this week. But no, most of you that know me, and have been coming to church lately, I've been talking about this. That we hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And again, sometimes God will give you a sign or something that's a confirmation. But the outpoured rains of refreshing and renewal, the church desperately needs. Amen. Ultimately, the people need it, but it has to begin with the people of God. And he promises the early rains and what? The latter rains. The latter rains were more intense. Much more intense. So I'm thinking, okay, we're the latter. Amen? And so we're in that season for that. And I'm still understanding the Lord is still building his church. Do we agree?
Yes.
He's still building his church. And when he comes, his bride will be
ready.
Glorious. Amen? Ready, meaning she's glorious. Without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. I believe that. But it's going to be because of a great outpouring. It's going to be because of a great outpouring of the Spirit and glory of God. It because how many of you know talking about the bride getting ready hasn't gotten her ready?
That's it.
This is going to be something God does by the Spirit and glory of God. We've been hearing a lot about that. You might say, well, what does that mean? I have not a clue. Not really. How dare I think I could even describe it? It's going to be something the Lord does. Amen? But we need to be in position for it as the remnant of God. Amen? Now, with this outpouring, though, and this is the part that could be perceived as negative, but I don't want you to perceive it that way. If anything, we need to wise up. Because a lot of times when something happens we don't understand, I see so many Christians run off the rails. And it takes me a week of pastoring just to get them back in church. Or a month, or a year. Just because they don't understand what happened. Why did that happen? And we need to be very, very careful about this because persecution and storms and great shaking always come even with an outpouring of the Spirit. There's other things that come. It's like it spawns these other things because of the Spirit of God coming in with strength. Again, what does it say? Even though darkness covers the earth, does darkness win?
No.
Never. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. So we got to remember that. It'll shine from His people. So don't forget the difficulties that Jesus referred to. Remember He called them what? Birth pangs. Which means they're going to be more intense and more frequent as the day of the Lord draws near. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, I kind of wish it wasn't there, but it's there. So I might as well learn how to accept that and understand that, but it's going to happen. But again, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations and then the end shall come. That's my focus. My focus is not the storm. My focus is the job, the mandate, the commission, amen, that we've been given by God. Because Jesus is going to get His harvest.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And when you really understand who you are in Jesus, you are a joint heir with Him. And so when we receive His harvest, we're receiving something that He's brought us in to receive with Him. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. He's wanting to thrust us forth into His harvest like never before. But we got to know how to ready ourselves against the storms. Because to not ready ourselves against storms would be quite rather stupid. Right?
Come on, get ready.
Jesus and His disciples had to frequently navigate through storms and persecutions. We know that. While they were carrying out prophetic assignments, while they were carrying out what God told them to do to advance the kingdom of God, storms would come against them. And I used to be, I'll be honest with you, when I was much younger in the Lord and much more immature, I used to think any resistance was a sign that I'm missing it somewhere. Anybody ever felt that way? Something's wrong with me. Not necessarily. It could be you're right on track. But if you don't know how to navigate through it, you'll shipwreck. Amen? That's what Paul was telling Timothy. So we have to know how to discern that, how to navigate through the storms and take that. You remember when one time Jesus said, get in the boat, guys, we're going to the other side. And we know on the other side was the demoniac that had a legion of demons, right? So we know about that part of the story. But on the way there, the storm was so intense that his own disciples woke him up, by the way, woke him up and said, Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? So they weren't handling it well. Now, think about this. Jesus is resting, sleeping in perfect peace in a storm. Hello. He rises up, rebukes them, turns around and then rebukes the storm and says, peace be still. And it went perfectly calm. Are y'all seeing something here? There's a supernatural peace that you work from to operate in His authority. There has to be His peace in order for His authority to work. More about that in a moment. But let me say this about His peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not a version of your pastor's peace. Or your spouse's peace. Or the fact that things seem better now. I'm more at peace. No. His peace, He said, I leave with you and I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And then He says, let not your heart be troubled. Which tells me something. Whether my heart is troubled and fearful is on me. Because He has given me a peace that I can enter into and I can live in if I won't allow the wind and the waves, the storm, the shaking to cause me to get out of that peace. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And that's really, I believe, in my life when I look back, it's when I was shaken that my authority, even though I knew what the Word of God said, when I'm shaken, this is not much authority. Because the enemy knows. Come on. You know what I'm saying? The enemy knows I'm freaking. The enemy knows I'm in a panic. Yeah. But when it's spoken from a place of peace, it's powerful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, I used to always think that I could make up for my fear by shouting louder. Everybody ever done that? I thought, well, I'd just shout louder, you know, and that doesn't intimidate devils, okay? Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at a passage with you that's found at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Now in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have the powerful Sermon on the Mount, right? Jesus reveals to us the Beatitudes of humility and peace and righteousness and mercy and all of that. He tells us how that even in persecution and storms, we're to what? Rejoice and be glad. Because why? We've been given a kingdom and we have a great heavenly reward. Amen? Yes. When it's all said and done, He's got us. Hallelujah. He's also calling us, though, in this life to be disciples, to be salt and to be light. Amen? Say in this life.
In this life,
come on, everybody. In this life, He spoke of personal relationships, how we're to work through things together with forgiveness and reconciliation, how to respond to our enemies in love, and how we're always to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Amen? The golden rule, as we call it. He gave us the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer to pray by. Did you know He gave us the cure for anxiety? He said to trust in the goodness of the Father and always seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He's got this.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Yeah. He ends this teaching, though, and I just gave you a very thumbnail sketch of the Sermon on the Mount, but He ends this teaching with a parable, and I want us to look at it. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Talk to me now. Acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house. Everybody say his house.
His house.
Now let's change it. My house.
My house.
On what?
On the rock.
And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these words of mine, notice the wise and foolish hear the word. Do you see that? Do you see that? Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, for He was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Can I tell you, like never before, please hear my heart, we need to make sure we have a good foundation for our house. Now, what's he referring to here? Now, we've been talking about the house of God, and that's important. But how many of you know each of us have a sphere of life where we are, you know, in a type of authority in that area of our lives? I mean, that's, you know, we rule our turf, so to speak. It's our home, our family, our marriage, our children. Y'all with me? Our life. Everything we do in life would come under this understanding of your house. He could have said, build your life on the rock. Could have very easily said life instead of house. That we know the meaning there is really not about brick and mortar. Though, if you don't have a good foundation on your natural home, you might want to go take care of that. Not right now. Let me finish. But you might want to go take care of that, right? But my point is, he was obviously speaking into our lives. Now, how many of you know the enemy attacks the church? We know that. But what did Jesus say?
Come on, gates.
Those gates will not prevail against the church. Well, we also know, how does the enemy really attack the church? Let's be honest. He goes after the people in the church. Because those are the living stones. He goes after your marriage, your family, your kids, your house, your finances. Come on. Your relationships. Because if he can get you unstable, the church is unstable.
Amen.
The enemy knows that. He's been studying humans for a long time. Amen? So I believe what Jesus is saying is you need to storm-proof and earthquake-proof your house. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? Because we can all celebrate when everything's good and my favorite song's playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how stable am I when life hits me? Because life is out there. Amen? News for you. Walk out the door. Life's going to be there, right? Hallelujah. And just as with the spiritual church being a spiritual house, so is our life. We need to build our house in that way. I want to be a man that when the storm passes through, me and my house are still standing. Amen? Susan and I are still married. Amen. We still love Jesus. If you came by, I'd even love on you and minister to you, right? I mean, I want to still be standing. It's time, though, to get the foundation correct. So we don't fall apart. Come on. We've all said it in ignorance, have we not? I just feel like everything's falling apart. Right? Wiping the tears away. And you know what I didn't need? I didn't need a box of Kleenex. I needed to get my act together. I need to get my tools out and start building, amen, and prepare for the next storm so I could get through it. Many in the body of Christ are so full of fear and so full of shaking that that's the part that really shakes them up, and the storms come. Here's the thing, though. You can't build your house in a storm.
That's right. Good point.
That's a little late, right?
A little late.
You might want to go buy some tarps, right? What you need to do there is get under the refuge of the Lord for sure at that point. Because, I mean, you're already in the middle of the storm. I was reminded of that stupid song. You know, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd.
That's right.
Okay, I'll move on. All the young people are like, that was an actual hit on the radio. But anyway.
Really?
Who was it? Somebody help me out.
Try it out.
Who was it? You never heard that? Oh, wow. Well, maybe I dreamed it. Yeah. Oh, who was it? Oh, man. Okay, let's get back to the Word of God. That was not in my notes, as you can tell. Yeah, thanks. Put it on the screen. He is our refuge. Amen? Would you believe He's faithful? And how many of you know, when the enemy does steal and destroy, Jesus restores. So I'm not saying don't run to God when you don't handle it well. I'm not saying that at all. But I am talking about we need to prepare for what's coming.
That's right. Be ready.
And I'm not trying to bring fear on you when I say that. If anything, I'm trying to bring a holy fear and awe and reverence for God. Because
yes.
He wants us to have that supernatural peace during the storm. Amen. Amen. So that from that place of peace, you can get up and speak to it.
Yes.
I mean, you know, sometimes we speak before it's time. And sometimes, again, we speak out of panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we speak to it from a place of peace, I've learned that in my life. Authority does not work well when I'm panicked.
No.
That's right.
Right? I can't even think and imagine what authority is. I'm just mad. I'm either mad, angry, or wanting to cry and don't want anybody to see me cry. Right? Because this is not what I had planned. Are y'all with me? And it could be something really simple in life, but I'm telling you, God is really wanting to bring us to a new place. Paul told Timothy, he said, according to these prophecies that have been spoken over you, he said this, I want you to fight what? The good fight, keeping faith, and a good conscience. In other words, to keep that good prophetic perspective on things at all times so that your faith will not shipwreck. And so if you don't do this, there's a good chance. So sounds to me like there's a chance you could run aground or you could, you know, you could get off course or run into a storm. And you need, I just found in my life, how many know this is true? Storms are a given.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Hello.
That's
right. Bank on it. We live in a fallen world. That's we right. have an enemy. We have an adversary seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. I don't want to be his lunch. Anybody with me? Because he'll eat your lunch and he will pop the bag. To quote Andrew Shearman, I do know that wasn't a song. That was Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack. Yeah, Jesus sent his disciples into the boat. He said, "Go and do my will. We're going to go to the other side." And they run into a storm. You might say, "Well, did Jesus miss it?
No.
Did Jesus miss it? No." But they were learning something from that, and we should learn from it. Paul was going on a voyage on a big vessel carrying cargo. He was kind of hitching a ride. And he was going to go to stand before Caesar. Because right. It was God's prophetic will for him to stand before Caesar and to testify. Well, meanwhile, they shipwreck and Paul ends up on the island of Malta. Again, if you don't understand, if you become so shaken, well, we know what happened. The whole island of Malta had a healing revival.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, it was just part of it. So sometimes, even when a storm comes and you may feel like you got this major detour in your life, God will bring the kingdom into it. That's right. He'll turn that. Did you know Malta speaks of like a sweet spot?
Yeah.
That's what the name of it means. And it became that for Paul. Yeah. And even after he got there, you might say, well, is it good enough that he survived? They floated in on pieces of the ship. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then he gets out to put some wood in the fire to warm up, and a viper bites him on the arm. It's not like, huh? You know, what do we say in the world? Come on. Man, I'm just snake bit. You ever heard that phrase? Or you know where it comes from? They all come from the Bible. Man, I just shake. And everybody there was watching, waiting for Paul to drop dead. You remember that? What did he do?
He shook it off.
He started crying.
He
had all the intercessors come over. No. I need some. Is there any healing evangelists out here? No. No. Is there going to be a healing crusade this weekend or whatever? Now, they were waiting for him to die because obviously this type of viper bite, you would swell up and die very quickly. So while they're waiting for him to die, thinking he's cursed, you got to be cursed if you had a shipwreck and a snake bite. There's no way God's on your side. But then he didn't die.
Yeah.
All he did was shake the viper off in the fire and kept going. And so he didn't freak out. He was unshakable. And they're all watching. And then they suddenly changed their tune and said that Paul was a god.
Come on, man.
I mean, talk about flipping the script right here. But we all know the story. It all worked for good. Amen? Say it all works for good. It's all good. Think about this. Through every storm, through every hardship, through every time of trouble, there's glory on the other side of your breakthrough. He always leads us where?
Victory.
Into triumph. Amen? Into triumph. Let's go to Romans 8:28, a verse we know well, but let's look at it today on the screen. And we know that God causes...
all.
Everybody say it. Come on, out loud. All things... to work together for good to those who what? Number one, love God. Amen? And number two, who are called according to His purposes. Love God, live for God. Amen? Love God and live for God. Say that with me. Shout it. Love God, live for God. And if you do that, guess what? No matter what happens in your life, God will work it for good. Amen? But I can't claim that if I'm not loving and living for God.
Come on,
I can't claim that.
That's my job.
It's pretty basic.
That's my job.
We love that verse and it gives us great comfort.
Yeah, that's my job.
But we need to check our hearts. Amen?
Amen?
Four things we need to do to prepare for storms, for shaking, for these birth pangs at the end of the age. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, we've already been talking about it. Build your house on a good foundation. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? I can help you and help equip you, but you still got to build your house.
That's right.
Amen? Build your life, your family on the Word of God.
Amen.
Not by merely hearing the Word of God, but by what? Doing the Word
Amen.
Of God. Amen? James says we look intently at the Word of God, right? So that we won't be merely a forgetful hearer, but what? An effective doer of the Word of God. That's James 1:25. His Word is still truth. Here's the problem I think we face many, many times, and I don't think we're the only generation that's gone through this, but especially in a place where the Word of God has been so readily put out there, and people have heard it in a country like America, but we need to understand something. Even when the word and when truth is no longer popular, amen? Or it's called old-fashioned or outdated, right? It doesn't change. Aren't you glad? Because if the truth was fluid and always changing, then I wouldn't know what I could believe today. Amen? I wouldn't know what I could stand on because that's shifting sand. Amen? And the Word is not shifting sand, it's solid rock. Remember the old hymn? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen? Though heaven and earth pass away, the Word of the Lord will abide forever. Amen? It will stand forever. He upholds all things by the Word of His power. So we all, it's not enough even on Sundays, guys. I love you, but this is not enough. You have to intently look into the mirror of the Word of God and be transformed by it and then live in obedience to it, okay? Amen. Amen? The second thing, it leads us to the second thing, and that is we must diligently guard and protect our heart. Again, that's your responsibility. Look with me at Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to what? To my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them where? Y'all with me? Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find. Did y'all know this word is life to you? Amen? It's life to those who find. And even better, how about this? And health to all their body. Hallelujah. Take your medicine. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Watch over your heart. What? With all diligence. For from it, from your heart, flows the springs of life. Some translations say, from your heart is a wellspring of life. But interestingly, I have to be diligent and you have to be diligent to guard our heart. What's he saying here? Our spiritual life is of the utmost importance. Because your passion, your motivation, your drive, the source of life comes from your heart. And if your heart's not right, I don't care how obedient you are to the Word. There won't be any passion in it. There won't be any life in it. Amen? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Interestingly how the Word ties into this thing about guarding your heart. And I know we've talked about this at length and I won't go into a lot of detail about it. But we know that there's a well within us called the living waters, right? The rivers of living water. And Jesus said, but be careful because the eye, he said, is the lamp of the body. Remember that? He said, if your eye is clear, your body, your vessel, will be full of light. But if the eye is polluted or unhealthy, then darkness comes in. How many know that's true? Yeah, that's you can't just look at anything.
That's right.
Hello?
That's right.
Y'all with me?
Right,
also, he said, take care of what you listen to. That's another gate.
That's right.
And how many know, in our culture especially, with the image generation that we're under and all the information that bombards us, what we're seeing and hearing is impacting us. It's impacting our spirit. And so we have to guard against that. David was known as what? The man after God's own heart. And David said this. I don't remember which psalm it is, but he says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. But what is the one thing that David wanted? He said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and I want to behold the beauty of the Lord.
Come on, man.
David knew that was the secret to keeping his heart right. And when he lost track of that, if we'll remember, even with Bathsheba, if he'd even just kept that, even though he stayed home from war when he should have been out at war, when kings were warring, he left his assignment and he saw Bathsheba, but he didn't guard his heart. Right? Are y'all with me? And the enemy tries to get us to do that. So the third thing is this. The third thing is to love and worship God with your all. What is the great commandment? Y'all talk to me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what?
Heart.
All of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That pretty well covers it, right?
Amen.
I'm to give my all to love and adoration and worship unto God. Are y'all with me? With my whole being, I'm to worship God. What did we just learn? What is this promise that God will work it for good? It's for those who what?
Love God.
Who love Him. Amen?
Yes.
Which leads us to the fourth thing. There's only four. But also those who love Him, but also those who are what?
Called
according to His purposes. Amen? Which leads us to number four, live for His purpose. We talked last week about beholding, remember? And Isaiah saw the throne of God, and the angel came with the hot coal, and he cleansed and purified his lips. And then Isaiah was able to stand and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Somewhere along the line, we have to make the decision that, "Lord, I'm going to serve you. I love you, but I'm going to serve you." Remember when the enemy tried to get Jesus? He said, he brought him to the pinnacle, let him look out. He said, "All of this has been given to me." And Jesus didn't challenge that Satan, who's the god of this world system, did not have the right to give it to him. But what Satan didn't know is Jesus getting ready to take the keys away. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He didn't know that, but he's trying to get Jesus to usurp going to the cross. Right? To usurp the sacrifice. Don't do that. Just, why don't you just take the keys now? This would be a lot easier. All you got to do is bow down and worship me.
Yeah.
And of course, Jesus responded, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and serve him only." Notice that. Worship and serving goes together. Worship is not just a song. Because you can sing a lot of songs and you can weep and cry. But are you serving him? That's the key. "Here am I, Lord, send me." I don't know about you. I want that to be my life. I want it to be in my everyday life. Not just when I'm trying to get ready to preach a sermon. Amen? That's Rick talk right there. But how many of you have learned the really secret to true life and real life is to live that way?
Yeah, that's right.
To live for God and to live for His purposes. That's really where life is. And that's what Jesus was addressing. It's a verse that we find complicated, but it's found in Mark 8, verse 35. Look what Jesus says. "Whoever wishes to save his life will" what? Come on, talk to me. He will what? He'll lose it. "But whoever loses his life," in other words, lets go of it or lays it down, "for" what? "For my sake and, is the verse not up there? Oh.
Sorry, bro. Different one.
Y'all all know this verse. I quote it to you all the time. "Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, he will save it." Amen? Did I not give y'all that verse? "For my sake and the gospel's sake." Notice that. He puts that in there. What is the gospel? It's the good news of the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen? It's going to be preached to all nations. And so we start to understand, live for his sake, but also live for the gospel's sake. I want to say to you with great joy today, we really can do everything we do for the glory of God.
Amen.
We really can live that way. In every area of our life, at work, in our business dealings, in recreation, in fellowship, amen, at school, hello, in our family, hello? We can do everything we do for the glory of God. You might say, well, what does that mean? It's just to be His witness. It's to be a witness for Him. It's to shine for Him in such a way, because I believe we're to be living our lives. I don't believe you should have to be an evangelist in the sense of the office of an evangelist to win the lost.
That's right. Yeah.
To minister to the prodigals. To heal the sick. Hello?
Right.
To help set the captives free. It makes no sense to think that we would only have to. And that's the way we tend to do it. You know, we have the professional clergy.
Yeah, no.
But see, God's wanting all of us to live our lives in such a way that we can be used of God for that. Amen? And we can also love God. With all of our heart. We can fervently love one another and we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What this does, according to Ephesians, this enables us to grow, help grow the body of Christ as we build the Lord's house with Him. But again, the message I hear today, our personal house needs to be able to weather through the storms. Y'all hear my heart in saying that? Build your house, your life, your family on the Word. Everybody say the Word.
The Word.
Guard and protect your heart. With all diligence. Okay? Be wise. You don't need some that garbage coming in. Love and worship God with your whole being. We agree? And live for His sake and the gospel's sake. That's the key to weathering the storms. And it's so important because storms are coming. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know all the earth itself is in a type of birth pangs waiting for the revealing of the sons of God.
That's right.
So there's this paradoxical divine tension that's taking place between darkness and light.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, light wins. Amen?
Amen?
But we need to make sure we're in that. I love what it says in Psalm 91. He who what? Dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Think about that. Where you dwell will affect what you abide in when you go forth from the dwelling. We don't live in the secret place, but we dwell there quite often and regularly because it causes me to live under His shadow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
To live under His wings in my life. And it's a powerful thing because the promises in Psalm 91, by the way, everybody knows this is Psalm 91. It's a powerful promise that He will be our refuge. How about this? No evil will befall you or come nigh your house. Hallelujah. Come on now. No pestilence or plague or even violence. You may see thousands fall in one hand or the other, but it shall not come nigh you.
Thank you, Father.
Look at this. In times of trouble, He will deliver us and set us securely on high. He will rescue us and we will see His salvation. And my favorite, with a long life, He will satisfy us.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. When life is over, it'll be satisfying.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Not because I paid off the mortgage, but because I'm in the peace of God. Hallelujah. And even when the grand finale of all humankind comes to be, and Jesus comes in His glory, we're going to be satisfied. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't wait until storms begin to get your toolkit out.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't wait for this. Start dwelling now. Amen?
Yeah.
And begin building your house on the rock. Many times for me, when the storm seems to catch me off guard, how many of you know, they always catch you off guard,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
When they seem to catch me off guard, or when I, what was I going to say there? Or they last longer than I expected. How many of you know, you think, well, this has got to be over quickly, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it lasts a lot longer than you expected. How many of you know, I'm just going to be honest with you, I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for it. I you know,
yeah.
Kind of like, you know, the old adage, I stepped out, I didn't see the bus.
Yeah. Right?
Right?
Yep.
And there's times when I have been unprepared and not very faithful, but He was faithful.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And He always brings me through. He always brings me into triumph over it. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
But it's better to be ready.
Yeah.
It's better to be prepared.
It's possible.
Because here's the thing. Now, hear my heart in saying this. If I'm dwelling, you and I, if we're dwelling and abiding, okay, then when a storm comes, I will respond in faith. Right? I'll respond in faith. And if I'm not dwelling and abiding, I'm going to react in fear.
That's right.
Or in panic.
Options, yeah.
Amen? And it's not making anybody feel bad. I'm just saying we need to identify. Because
yeah.
Sometimes for some of us, it's certain areas. It's not our whole life.
That's
but it's just certain areas. The enemy knows to push that button.
That's right. Yeah.
He knows you.
Yeah, I don't want that button anymore.
He wants, yeah, let's get rid of the button. Amen? Take it down, disconnect it. Amen? He knows, you know? What is that thing you can get now you can put on your door where you can see who's at the door? You know,
yeah.
That's what we need. We need to be able to identify. Dude, don't push the button. I ain't going to answer it. I'm not going there. Amen.
Holy.
Look at Hebrews 12:28. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which what?
Cannot be shaken.
Say that with me. Cannot be shaken. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable sacrifice. Say my life. With reverence and awe. For our God is what? Come on now. He's a consuming fire. Our life is to be a living sacrifice unto Him.
Amen.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Amen.
I really can't do that unless I know that His kingdom can't be shaken.
That's right.
And if I understand that and I get that in my heart, I can give my life for it. I want to encourage you with something. Go to those Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and study. Because some people have debated about whether or not that parable about the wise and foolish builder was just addressing the Sermon on the Mount. I think it was addressing anything Jesus taught, personally, His Word. And some people, but how many of you know, our life would be unshakable if we lived the Sermon on the Mount?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We would not be offended. We would not be hurt. We would not be flying off the handle at every turn. We would be full of love. We'd be dedicated to God. We'd be at total peace that God's got. I'm telling you. The attitudes of the Beatitudes would be our attitude. And it would totally change the way we live our lives. Amen. So I just encourage you, like James said, be intentional about it. Be intentional. And with a sincere heart, here's the biggie, be willing to repent where you need to repent. Because I'm telling you, you study the Sermon on the Mount, you're going to be going, okay, we got to stop right here. This is not time to speed read the Sermon on the Mount. I need to stop right here and take this to Jesus. A lot of times what I do is I take communion. I get the elements out. I go before the Lord and say, Lord, I haven't been living this, or I certainly maybe not now have been living this. The enemy's been yanking my chain. And so I need to do something right here. Amen? And you can see that. Don't you love it when he yanks your chain, right? Or rings your doorbell, whatever. But be intentional, be sincere, and apply the truth to every area of your life. Everybody say every area.
Every area.
Come on, guys. That means our marriage.
Yes.
That means our children.
Yes.
That means our finances.
Yes.
That means how we do our job at work.
Yep.
How we run our business.
Yep.
Amen. How we treat our neighbor. Hello?
Come on now.
It changes everything. It's a powerful, powerful message. This will take... Oh, to answer your question, that I think it was only speaking to the Sermon on the Mount. But again, obviously he was speaking about that message, but I think it applies again to anything Jesus taught us, right?
Amen. Oh, yes.
Amen.
No.
This is bedrock for you if you'll walk on it and live in it. Amen. Oh. Say amen if you believe that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This will take us from being forgetful hearers to becoming effectual doers.
Yes.
And that's where I want to get. Amen.
Right.
And that gets the foundation set, because you got to get the foundation. But I need to say one thing about that, about the Word. It's not merely obedience alone. How many of you know speaking the Word is also every bit as important?
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
A lot of times people get quiet on this. Because I understand, you can speak the Word and not be grounded on it. I understand that. You can be a parrot, right? You're just squawking stuff you've heard. But when you're grounded on it and speaking it, oh, that's power and authority. That's the two-edged sword coming out of your mouth. Amen? And it could change things. I tell you, the enemy ain't going to hang around when you're wielding the sword.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Paul called it the spirit of faith. According to what is written, he said, I believe, therefore I speak. So you speak the word of God. Isaiah 59, the covenant. The verses that proceed, arise and shine, it says this, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which are in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offsprings, from now and evermore, says the Lord. And then he says, arise and shine. So when you get the word of God in your mouth, it'll help you to arise and shine. Amen?
Amen.
Now, why did I emphasize that again? Because that's where we started today. Building our house. Please get this. Building our house is not about hunkering down.
Come on now. Talk about that.
Hello. It's about what? Arising and
shining.
Hear me. Don't build a storm cellar. Don't build a bunker. Don't go underground. Hello? Kind of quiet. Because that's what you'd rather do, right? I'd rather just hide. I want to keep my head down. I'm tired of messing with the devil. Tired of the devil messing with me. That's exactly what he wants. He wants you to put your head down. Are you with me? That's right. He's a bully. That's exactly what he wants to do. But God wants us to build our house on a good foundation. I like to put it this way. He wants to build a house, a life in us that will stand up and stay up.
Yeah, right.
It'll stand up and stay up and stand out. Hallelujah. Like what? A city set on a hill. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So as we build our house on these things that I shared with you, I believe it. But each of us can choose whether or not we will build our house on the Word of God. Remember what Joshua exhorted the people? You choose this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
We will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So never forget this. With every difficulty, the Lord will work it together for good. Do we agree?
Yes.
Come on. And there's always a greater glory on the other side of suffering and trouble.
Yes.
Jesus never promised we'd be immune from suffering and trouble. Nobody likes that. But it's not in the Bible. In fact, I need to share this with you before we close. 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at what? At the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. That'd be like you saying, you just won't believe what I'm going through, like nobody else ever goes through anything. Right? But to the degree that you what? Say it with me. Share the sufferings of Christ. What does it say?
Keep on rejoicing.
So that also at the revelation of what? His glory. You may rejoice with exultation. If you're reviled for the name of Christ, say it with me.
You are blessed.
Say it again. You are blessed. Because why? The spirit of glory and of God rests on you.
Hallelujah.
When darkness rolls in, just start shining all the more. Amen?
Amen.
Keep rejoicing. That's why in Romans, Paul wrote, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us.
Yes. Come on.
Elijah prayed for rain. We know, right? He just slain the prophets of Baal. It was a good day. Things are going well. Seven times he sent his servant to go look and see as he prayed with his face to the ground for rain. Remember the story?
Yeah.
On the seventh time, every time he'd come back and say, nothing, nada. Looks like Arizona out there to me. Right? Not this week, but normal week, right? Looks like the skies over Phoenix. Nada. Not a cloud in sight. But on the seventh time, remember what he came back and saw? You remember what he saw? He didn't say a storm cloud. He said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And that's all Elijah needed. And he said, you better gird yourself and get running, boy, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Amen? God, oh, yeah, with a prophetic person, it doesn't take much.
No, that's right.
It doesn't take much to this man open the floodgates. Amen? That's the way we ought to be. Hallelujah. Some of us won't believe it's going to rain unless we're floating. I think it might rain, right? It's like all those people that didn't get in Noah's Ark, right? They were ready to get in when it started raining and the boat started rising. Amen? Hallelujah. But remember this. As powerful as that was, Jezebel went on the rampage right after that. Remember that?
Resistance.
She said, I'm taking you out, boy.
Yeah.
She threatened him and he ran.
Yeah.
But let me just say this to you. Even with the great outpouring, the enemy will try to counter.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And sometimes the enemy's the one that brings the storm first, and then we counter with the kingdom of God. Amen?
Yeah.
I want to get to the place where when the giant rings my doorbell, since we're talking about doorbells, when the giant rings my doorbell, I don't know about you, I want to get to the place where I'll go, God, did you see how big he was?
Come on now.
Amen? Yeah. But I want to get to the place where I just immediately say to the giant, do you know how big my God is?
Yeah.
Amen? William's with me. Hallelujah.
I want that sword.
That's right.
Who are you, Philistine?
Anybody willing to build your house on a good foundation?
Yeah.
Are you wanting to do that?
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. And what I love about it, we can have his perfect peace. All right?
Yeah.
And we can keep on rejoicing. And I'll tell you, from that place, you can operate in authority. You can begin to speak to things. Amen? Right. You can get mountains to move and you can do some things by faith in God that you can't do in a panic.
That's real living.
And in full of fear. Amen? It's everyday life. It really is. It can be everyday life. And all the while we can know our God's going to work it together for good. Amen?
Amen.
Say this with me. The Spirit,
the Spirit
and the glory of God,
rest on me.
I will always rejoice.
I will
keep on rejoicing. For nothing has changed.
In spite of the wind and the waves,
I will trust
and
say all is well. My Father's got this.
Father's
Hallelujah.
Got
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now I wanted to, y'all receive that?
I do.
Again, I'm not trying to get you fearful about storms. I'm just saying we need to be ready for what's coming. I don't know what's coming. I really don't know, but I don't want to be somebody that can't be ready for it.
That's right.
I'm not going to ask you to come down front because we don't have a very big front. And I'm not going to ask you to even stand up right now. But if you would you put your Bibles down and your devices and stuff. And would you just, I want to pray a couple of things over you before we leave today.
Yes.
And I just want you to open your heart and receive it while after receiving the Word of God. If you could just, if you would, just place your hands out in front of you as though you were receiving something. Kind of change your posture a little bit. Maybe close your eyes. And I may lead you into a couple of things to pray, but I just want to encourage you in four specific things. Are you ready? I want to pray for God's grace for you. And I want you to be able to receive it. Now, so I want you to think of receiving. And what I mean by the grace, I'm not talking about the grace that saved you to have eternal life. I'm talking about the grace that you need in your life. How many know you need grace?
Yes.
Amen? The grace to build your house. How about that?
Yes.
On the Word of God. And it requires the anointing and the revelation of the Holy Spirit
yes.
to be upon you. And it also requires, now hear this, it requires a repentant obedience. A repentant obedience to speak and to do the Word of God. Father, I ask right now that you would grant us all an abundance of grace. An abundance of grace, Lord, to do your Word, to speak your Word, to build our lives on the rock of your Word, to honor your Word in our lives, in every area, in every relationship, in every part of our family, and our life, and our and any aspect of work, vocation, business, that we would honor you, Lord. And I pray today, Lord, along with that grace for the anointing of the Spirit of truth to come upon you, to give you revelation, so that the Word would come alive to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Just say, I receive it, Lord.
I receive it, Lord.
Now the second thing